I'll keep this on.
No.
There we go. Can hear me better now? Excellent. Okay. We'll keep this going. Chris, I heard you say that you're receiving a lot of high blood pressure from all the emails, and I couldn't help but feel personally responsible for that. As I have contributed a lot of the, but do what now? Am I good? Okay. Okay. Use the podium mic? Is that what we're going to do? Okay, we'll do that. We can adapt. All right. And Beth and Carolyn, it's good to have you both with us. I sensed a kindred spirit in Beth's music as I listened to it earlier this week. And then the music that she's sharing with us today is so provocatively, revolutionarily simple that I am you and you are me, and that our well-being is wrapped up in each other. And in a world where there's a lot of excuses to find reasons to exclude and to separate, we choose love, which brings us together. And that's tough sometimes. Beth and Carolyn are going to help me a little bit later on in my talk with a meditative piece tied in with this morning. Carolyn has done some meditative stuff with us in the past, and so we asked her music-based therapy and transformational spiritual experiences are something that I believe music brings to this conversation that is so important. I feel oftentimes inadequate coming up here and simply sharing words, because what I'm talking about this morning is about the things that happen when words go away. It's about this space of cultivating awareness, or as Nelika said in her meditation, walking down the street heart first. What a beautiful thought. To bring our whole self and our heart, as vulnerable as it is, into this world that is very, very bent on telling us all the ways that we are separate. In this series, we've been in a, I'll do a quick recap for you. And in week one, we talked about the conscious mind. The conscious mind is the part of us that perceives this thing that we call reality. And I would put both the us and the reality in air quotes, because those are some complicated phrases. But we first explored at the high level this conscious mind, and the unique thing about consciousness, which is something that we don't even fully understand. And then we got a little bit deeper in week two, and we talked about the thinking mind. And that's the constant stream of thoughts that shape our identity as we go through the world. Even as we go through it heart first, we have people say and do things to us. And we read the news, and we engage in this world, and it brings us down, and we have to choose to keep moving forward. And that constant stream of thoughts in our thinking mind wants to shape our reality. And for most of us, that is where most of us spend our time, is in the thinking mind. We identify with our thoughts, and it's very easy to think that our thoughts are us. Last week, we got even deeper as we're peeling back these layers, and we talked about the ego and how the ego is the storyteller that clings to these roles, these labels, that identifies with this idea of separation. And what you see in our world and what you see in our country now is heightened ego states responding and bouncing off of one another. And the more we talk and the more we argue, the more we begin to identify with our ego instead of going deeper. We said that the ego is like a lens, if you use this camera analogy. The ego is the lens that can bring focus to something, but it's not the camera. Anybody who's familiar with cameras knows in the digital SLR single lens reflex camera, there is this sensor And the CMOS chip in there, the little sensor, when I first bought my first digital camera, I think it was like in the late 90s. This was one of the early digital cameras. I paid $1,600 for this Olympic digital camera that shot at a whopping 1.5 megapixels. I think most of our watches could probably shoot at a higher resolution than that. But it was really cool for somebody who had come out of, you know, who's celebrating the rise of the digital age and what that was going to do for art and design. And if you have bought cameras or video cameras, you know that the size of the sensor determines how much light comes in and is absorbed. The lens focuses that light. So if we think of the lens as our ego is what brings all of this outside stimuli in, but it's not our core identity. It brings it in. The piece we want to talk about is this sensor, this awareness that we bring into life. And that's the talk that I want to give this morning, is on awareness, as we learn to step beyond the stories and learn to see what's been present all along. Ellen Watts, who I've quoted just about every week in this, has a fantastic couple of paragraphs on this subject, and I just want to share this. This is not in the bulletin because it was a little bit long for that, but I want to describe how he says it because he can say it in a way that I wish I could. He says, we suffer from a hallucination, from a false and a distorted sense of our own existence as living organisms. Most of us have the sensation that I myself is a separate center of feeling and action, living outside of and bounded by the physical body, a center which confronts the external world of people and things, making contact through our senses with the universe as both alien and strange. He says, everyday figures of speech reflect this illusion. We say things like, I came into this world. We say things like, you must face reality. Or we talk about the conquest of nature. This feeling of being lonely and very temporary visitors in the universe is in flat contradiction to everything known about humanity and all living organisms in the sciences. We do not come into the world, we come out of it as a leaf from a tree. As the ocean waves, the universe peoples. Every individual is an expression of the whole realm of nature, a unique action of the total universe. This fact is rarely, if ever, experienced by most individuals. Even those who know it to be true in theory do not sense or feel it, but continue to be aware of themselves as isolated egos inside of bags of skin. We move through this world identified with this ego identity. Because from the time we were young and we were given a name, and then we began to interact in the world, in daycare, with our siblings, with our parents, parts of our identity were reinforced, and we began to form this identity of who we were and who we are. But it's an incomplete picture. It's easy to cling to the ego. It's easy to cling to these labels and identities as the parts of ourselves that are us. But I would venture to say that most of my spiritual work, most of my deep inner work has been to try to identify less with this part of me that I think of as Brad. And you get too far down this rabbit hole, and it can get you into some weird headspaces. You start referring to yourself in the third person, which always feels weird to other people. But you begin to realize that that's probably a more accurate way to connect with yourself. You found yourself like Prince, if anybody remembers his phase, the artist formerly known as Prince. There's times that if I get too deep into this process of growth and connection that I realized that I'm not Brad, but I'm the person that many other people think of as Brad. And there's a whole lot of descriptive labels that can describe me and have described me. But they're surface level descriptions. There is another self, more really us than I. There's a deeper part of ourselves that is an unbridled, deep awareness. Ram Dass talked about how the ego is in the domain of separateness. And the more we identify with our ego, the more we identify with this idea of us as separate from. My mantra this year, instead of a resolution, I have in the past chosen either a single word or a phrase or mantra to carry with me through the year. And this year, I've actually chosen this word that is the title of this talk, the word awareness. And it's part of a longer phrase by Ram Dass. The mantra that he would say often is, I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. This has been a mantra for me that I've come back to time and time again, but this year especially, I'm trying to take this idea of awareness into life, into my meditations, into my relationships. Ram Dass says it this way. He says, we have to get out of our minds, our thinking minds. He says, I'll tell you how I do it by using this mantra or a phrase. I am loving awareness. Loving awareness is the name for soul, which you really are. It leads you to love everything you are aware of. The sky, the room, your body, other people, until you go deeper and deeper in that love. Now, what is the problem with awareness? The problem is that in a world like the one that we live in, it can be very difficult to open our hearts and to be fully aware. It's almost easier to keep the governor kicked in a little bit and to keep our awareness at a minimum. Because as long as we're identifying with our ego consciousness, as long as we're identifying with these labels and these roles, we can wrap our heads around them. And we can feel confident when we build up our ego in this domain of separateness by excluding others and demeaning others and seeing ourselves as separate or other than. And some days it can feel like when we open our awareness that there is this raging storm. And yet if anybody's done meditation and has tried to connect with your breath and has sat for a moment like we're going to do in a few minutes here in meditation, you're aware that there's not this calm, tranquil space in our head, that more often than not, our mind chooses to connect with our ego identity. And our mind latches on to these thoughts, these opinions that come and go. And we identify with them. And we can get swept up in them. But what if we could hold everything? Even our grief, our anger, our disillusionment, our disagreement, in a spacious awareness instead of being caught up in it. When you were a baby, you entered this world with complete wide open awareness. The exposure of your awareness was wide open as you took in the world around you. And if you've spent any time around a child recently, you know what it feels like to be connected to someone who is fully aware and taking in the world. To see their eyes wide open, to almost feel the synaptic neurons connecting as they're forming these neural pathways, as they're forming this identity of who they are and who the world is around them. this idea of awareness is our core identity of who we are. It's how we came into the world, but it is something that we oftentimes lose as we identify more with our consciousness. This is our true nature before it was wallpapered over and covered over with all of our beliefs and all of our concepts. Ellen Watts again says, what we typically call the ego is like an actor who has forgotten that they're playing a role. You think of Daniel Day-Lewis and some of the other method actors out there. I just read a book about Peter Jackson's making of The Lord of the Rings, and Viggo Mortensen's amazing portrayal of Aragorn was something that was not just on film. Like, he embodied that real method acting. He slept with his sword out in the woods with his horse, and he really got into character. So keep that picture in mind when you're thinking about ego and how we identify. It's like an actor who's forgotten that they're playing a role. They become so identified with the character that they forget that they're in a play. The real you, Watts says, is not the actor, it's the character. Or it's not the character, it's the actor behind all the roles. Consider how every night in your dreams you create entire worlds and you populate them with characters and adventures. And yet when you wake up, you realize that it was all you all along. The real you is like this. It's the one consciousness playing all the parts in this cosmic drama. So if I were to narrow this down into something that we could kind of think about and use this week to spend some time in meditation, it would be this phrase that awareness and loving awareness sees, S-E-E-S, but it doesn't seize, S-I-E-Z. Loving awareness is aware of life as it is, but it doesn't latch onto those things. It's like the sky while the thoughts and the emotions are the passing storm. Loving awareness perceives, but it doesn't possess. It notices, but it doesn't cling. Awareness is vast and steady. So can we be the one who watches, not the one who reacts? I would dare say that in this new world that we are in today and in the upheaval of our society and our culture, what our world needs now more than ever are people who are deeply connected to their truest and deepest self. To be able to connect to one another as two parts of the same whole, not as separate ego beings clashing with our labels and our judgments. Ram Dass said, treat everyone you meet like you're encountering God in drag. Whatever you feel about this idea, this label of God or soul, if you would use that and replace that with whatever is the deepest and truest part, to connect with everyone you meet as God in drag, to embody that namaste ideal, not as something you say just at the end of a spiritual practice to feel enlightened, but to live that way in a world where we can look at the television, where we can look across the table to a family member, that we can talk to our spouse, and we can see one another and see us. As Beth sang, I'm you, you're me. I'm going to invite Beth and Carolyn back up, and I want to just do a practice with us here, because, like I said, it's rather challenging to give a talk with a bunch of words on something where words are oftentimes one of the least helpful ways of connecting with this concept. We can read all the books we want and listen to all the podcasts we can about what it means to bring mindful awareness into this world. And yet the simplest way to do it and the most complicated thing to do is to simply sit and to be. So I want to invite you for just 5 minutes here in this gathering to share in a meditative practice with me. I'm going to encourage you to kind of sit up straight in your seat, put your feet firmly on the floor for just a moment. You can let your hands rest comfortably in your lap, and you can close your eyes as we just bring some awareness for just a moment to this space. As we start in this comfortable position with our eyes closed, let's take a deep breath in together. Breathe it out with a sigh. Take one more deep breath in. Breathe it out through your nose. And just for a few moments, let your breath settle into a natural, easy rhythm. Nothing to change. Nothing to control. Just watching. Thoughts come and thoughts go. You notice the thoughts, but you don't cling to them. Bring awareness to the noises around you. Sound of the kids behind us. The music. The vocals. Aware of the physical presence of other beings beside and around you in this room. This awareness is steady, spacious, expansive. It sees, but it doesn't seize onto anything. You can hear the sounds. The sound comes and it goes. You exist beyond that. You rest in this open awareness. And if thoughts arise, as they often do and they will, just simply notice them. You don't need to push them away. You don't need to be angry or frustrated at yourself, as so many of us often are when we come into meditation, but to bring a loving kindness to yourself, to your own mind. And if these emotions arise, just recognize them. Oh, hello, anxious thought. Hello, intrusive thought, self-consciousness. You don't need to fix these thoughts. You don't need to push them away. Just simply be aware. Even and especially the dark thoughts. As Rumi reminds us, the dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them all at the door, laughing, and invite them in. As we remain in this loving awareness. And as you breathe in, let these words be our mantra. I am loving awareness. I am loving awareness. I am loving. Stresses that we walked in with that conflict that's been hanging in the back of our head, those news reports that we just can't shake, that feeling of dread, that anxious energy, we simply notice. But we let those things go. They come and they go as clouds in the sky or as a leaf going down the river. We can notice, but we don't cling. Nothing to force, nothing to resist. Just resting in this presence of loving awareness. My deepest point, beyond the ego, beyond the identity, the labels that I wear, I am loving awareness. I'm going to invite you to just sit for just a couple minutes as this musical time to just allow this mantra to sink deeper into our hearts and our beings. Attention back to this space, to this present moment. My hopes, friend, is that as we take this resting point in this series, that we can carry this idea with us into the world that so desperately needs it, that you can bring your truest and deepest self to this world. Namaste.